First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Hey everyone, I'm a regular guest host on the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Well, welcome everyone to another edition of the Alan Nathan Show. I'm not Alan Nathan. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today, who is on assignment. And boy, the best opening bumper I ever hear in my travels, the Alan Nathan Show. A trip down memory lane of great lines that revere America. Alan wants you to know that we want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. That has been his motto for many a year now. I am delighted to just skip to the chase here. And we have with us our very first guest. Delighted to welcome Rabbi Daniel Schoenbuch, founder of the Mental Health First Initiative and author of Viktor Frankl and the Psychology of the Soul, a guide to finding meaning and emotional wellness. Welcome, Rabbi, to the program. Always good to have rabbis and other people of religious faith. Good to have you.
Great to be here.
Yes. Well, full disclosure, and it's not a big deal. I'm an MOT, and so I always love having rabbis on. You're here to talk, before we talk about what's going on in Hollywood and our fellow Jews, just number one, there's an awful lot of them that won't speak up, but some of them do, and they're not getting a positive reception in Hollywood. Talk about your book, which is utterly fascinating, Viktor Frankl, which many people know wrote The Man's Search for Meaning and The Psychology of the Soul. Who's this meant for? Who's your audience? And what is one of your main messages about finding meaning in life? Big question.
Funny, I'm a spiritually focused therapist, and I'm very concerned about the explosive issues of mental health in the United States. We have explosive rates of depression, anxiety, PTSD, and addiction. And I don't believe modern psychotherapy is addressing the real issues that people are facing that could really help them. Viktor Frankl, a famous author of a book called Man's Search for Meaning, was a Holocaust survivor. And he said, we need to change the direction of psychotherapy. Today, psychotherapy is all about the self, self-esteem, things that people want. But he says we have to change that to the discussion to go beyond ourselves. People need to focus on values and meaning. And that's why I wrote my book.
Well, never has it been more important. I can tell you that I was pretty despondent before President Trump came on the scene, was elected to start holding people accountable for the wrong that they do in our government. And now it has flipped, and the left is running to therapists to talk about their fears. Of course, I have my opinions about whether they've been incited to fear and fear-mongered. But what do you say about that when people are, even whether they're conservative or liberal, in this very currently divided world, we've been through so many years of this, that they're worried about this sort of existential fear, and they are concerned about the loss of values and the elevation of bad over good, celebrating criminals instead of law-abiding citizens. So what do you say to them about, that's what I'm, quote unquote, that's what I'm depressed about, Rabbi. I'm worried about the state of our country and the world.
Well, the question in psychotherapy is not what do I need, but what am I needed for in this world? And I think when people answer that question, they just become healthier and happier in general. So I would suggest to people looking for an answer for today's situation to find somebody to love in this world, to do something valuable, take on a spiritual activity which is meaningful for them. And in my book, I have a 30-day logotherapy, the therapy of meaning workbook. I have people choose their values and choose meaningful experiences and do that for every day for 30 days. And I believe they're just going to get healthier and happier. But you got to focus on the real values like security, protecting people's rights. Those are the things which Donald Trump is instituting. And I think in the long term, our society is safer and people have better mental health because of that as well.
So glad to hear you say that, because they're, you know, I tell people, they always accuse me of saying that I somehow, you know, I'm a groupie and I look up to Trump, and he's not God. There's only one. He's human, but he's instituting a level of, he's turning the right, the world upside, right side up again, because he's wanting to hold people, he and his administration, accountable for things that are clearly against our laws and against American values. What's, I got off on the track here. What's logotherapy?
Logotherapy is the therapy of meaning. And unlike the world of psychotherapy, which has been dominated by the left for the last 100 years and created by Sigmund Freud, yes. Sigmund Freud dealt about the self. He said people have an id, this powerful drive for pleasure. Viktor Frankl said we have something else called the religio, this spiritual spark within us. And when I work with my clients that have trauma and depression, I'm always looking for where's the spiritual spark within my client. Many therapists deal with people's childhoods. They go back to the past. Frankl says we've got to focus on the future, find meaning, and then people transform themselves dramatically. That's what I'm promoting in my book, Viktor Frankl and the Psychology of the Soul.
Rabbi, let's go back just a little bit during the what I call the auto pen years of Joe Biden, in which it appeared, one of the great things about Judaism, we're never supposed to give up, right? Because things can change on a dime. And during those years, not so long ago, I had many conservative friends, some of them even Jewish, who were despondent over the loss of American values and freedom because they felt so strongly about the values you're talking about liberty, about individuality, against communism and Marxism and tyranny that Jews particularly know a great deal about. So if you could, and maybe can you stay for one more segment, because we do have room for another segment and we can talk about the issue that you came here to talk about, but can you stay one more segment? Oh, that would be lovely.
To do so.
I would be delighted to have you. So could you give a little bit of an example of what you may have been able to tell somebody whose values were so profoundly offended in the last administration?
Well, let's get to the basics of psychology. We know when you meet a client, the most primary thing that everybody needs is to feel safe, especially people that have trauma. And if the client doesn't feel safe, there's no room for exploration. There's no room for growth. Under the previous administration, under Joe Biden, the country simply became unsafe. Crime was growing out of control. People that were demonstrating, you know, blowing things up, breaking into stores, looting, were not prosecuted properly. How can a society exist without a sense of safety? The exact same thing we see in terms of psychology. People need to be safe. So I'm really hoping and praying that with Donald Trump, first of all, saying if you're a criminal, you will be prosecuted. Mm-hmm. Laws need to be utilized and appropriately support people's sense of safety. When they do so, I believe we'll have a reduction of mental illness because people simply feel more safe in our society.
And one of the great, I have an MSW, so one of the greatest things, aspects of depression, we're almost out of time, is helplessness. When you feel like a peasant and the entire, all the spheres of influence have been taken over by these Marxist ideologies that reduce you to nothing but a number and what your identity is and all that, and there's nothing they can do about it. I would love for you to speak to that a little bit. If there were clients that you had who said, I'm clear about my values of freedom and personal responsibility and accountability to God, something greater than ourselves, but I'm just a little peon and I feel so helpless. It's like watching a kid run in front of a train and not be able to stop him. Were you able to say to them about that?
Viktor Frankl talked about this when he experienced being in Auschwitz over the last, 1944. He said that even though you had limited freedom, I mean, the Nazis controlled what you did, what you ate or didn't eat, if they tortured you or not, you couldn't escape. He said we still could squeeze out some human freedom. And in the concentration camps, he wanted to find somebody you could give a piece of bread to, somebody you could cheer up and save their life with a good word. People have to squeeze it out of life as well.
Oh, Rabbi, that's so important, so important. Sorry I didn't meet you during those times because there were a lot of listeners who needed that and so much more. And we have some people on the other side who are in need of some counseling too. Rabbi Daniel Schoenbuch, we will have another segment with him, I'm so delighted to say, after we come back. Karen Cataline filling in for Alan Nathan on the Main Street Radio Network.
High protein diets have always been popular with athletes, but they have health benefits for everyone else too. Registered dietitian Amy Goodson has more.
High-protein diets benefit everyone, young and old. Protein supports growth in children and teens, enhancing energy, focus, and health. For adults, it helps curb hunger, boost metabolism, and aids in recovery after injuries.
Following a plant-based diet may seem challenging when you're trying to meet a protein goal. But even if you do eat meat, some plant-based products can pack a significant protein punch.
One of my favorite plant-based proteins is PB2 Performance, which is made from real peanuts and almonds and has no added sugar. With 20 grams of protein per serving, it's ideal for men, women, and children. It comes in three varieties, cocoa and peanut protein, vanilla peanut protein, and vanilla almond protein, and can be blended into smoothies, mixed into recipes, or stirred into water.
For more information on PB2 Performance, visit pb2foods.com. The AI craze hasn't always been good for freelancers, as some AI tools exploit human creativity without proper credit or compensation. Fiverr's Matt Clunan has more.
Since the rise of generative AI, creatives have been worried about losing their income to AI tools. But Fiverr's changing that dynamic so that freelancers can feel empowered with AI and have it work for them. This also provides businesses with even more access to talent and their work instantly.
So it's really a win-win combination. Fiverr's new AI platform gives freelancers control of their own work, ensuring AI serves freelancers rather than replacing them.
Freelancers are the backbone of today's economy and Fiverr's success, and their work should be valued. With Fiverr Go, creators can now train their own personal AI models with their own portfolio to produce work in their unique style at scale for businesses of all sizes. Freelancers set their prices and retain all creative rights.
To learn more about Fiverr Go, visit Fiverr.com. That's Fiverr.com.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles, and access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I am pleased Karen Cataline filling in for Alan Nathan. I'm pleased to have Rabbi Daniel Schoenbuch here for one more segment to actually talk about what he's here to talk about. Thank you, Rabbi, for joining us, staying with us. You're there, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
great to be here.
I am going to do this at the outset of this segment because we're always rushed at the end. Rabbi Daniel Schoenbuch's book, Viktor Frankl and the Psychology of the Soul, A Guide to Finding Meaning and Emotional Wellness. I have his book up now on Amazon. You can get it on Amazon. And there's some really great stuff in there, like, and it shows a little bit of what you can learn, like freedom of will, will to meaning, meaning in life. Ugh, as if every single one of us can't benefit from such a book. Thank you for writing that. So in Hollywood, the so-called A-listers are condemning the Academy, I think the Academy of Arts and Sciences, for failing to support Palestinian filmmaker. Can you tell us a little more about this story and why it, why this caught your attention so much? Obviously, there are many reasons.
Well, once again, left-wing activists in Hollywood and the left in general were portraying this man named Hamdan Balal, who just made a movie about Israel and Palestinians. And but you see, what happened was this fellow decided to get more publicity for his movie. So he decided to attack Jews who live there by throwing rocks at their heads, seemingly to kill them. And now he's showing himself to be some type of a horrible victim. But it doesn't surprise me once again, that Hollywood is going to the side of people that are actually promoting genocide, destruction of Jews, destruction of the West, but doing it in ways that looks like they are the victims right now, once again. And I find it quite hypocritical. People like Mark Ruffalo, who's a very anti-Israel activist for many, many years, still openly supporting Hamas, but where has he been the last year when we still have American hostages like, you know, Amedan and others sitting in Hamas torture tunnels, starving to death, being beaten up? I don't see any letters coming from the liberal left at the same time from Hollywood.
They're exposed for who they really are, aren't they? I mean, this is like a moral litmus test. We're talking about morals and values and that kind of thing. This is really like a moral Rorschach test. If you're cheering on Hamas, you pretty much are either, as a friend of mine says, stupid, crazy, or evil. Is that fair?
Well, it's really frightening. I mean, they get duped by romantic images that they see in film, and they believe that there's real truth behind them, but there's no truth to this at all. I mean, Jews are not free to live, to operate, to move around in any Arab countries without fear of being murdered, killed, destroyed. The rabbi from the UAE, which the Chabad rabbi was killed a few months ago, they just found and prosecuted three of his terrorists that killed him. Jews are very disrespected, hated, and attacked in most of the Arab countries. But, you know, there's 2 million Arabs living in total freedom in Israel. They're judges. They're policemen. Uh-huh. They serve. Some of them even serve in the Israeli army. I don't see any movies about that at the same time. So
you
I believe
couldn't.
This is extremely one-sided. Yeah.
You could not put that out because you can't help people rationalize to why it's okay to turn into an animal and a barbarian by justifying that people are somehow victims and therefore anything they do is okay. And yet they hold Israel to an impossible standard. It's obviously propaganda, most all of it. We have to, as two Jewish people, talk about the Jews in Hollywood. And not only are they being targeted, which is quite opposite from the cliches and the stereotypes that Jews control Hollywood, but the Jews that are there, and everyone knows, they're very quiet, aren't they?
They really are. And I want to tell you, I used to be a Democrat years ago, and I actually transformed my life through studying the works of a guy named Dennis Prager that many of your listeners know about.
Of course.
I think with my fellow Jewish friends in Hollywood, they'd be best off to start learning and studying with Dennis Prager who basically explores the importance of a value-based society, a God-focused society. And I believe it's a battle of values, and the best way to confront Hollywood is through educating them with better ideas that really last in the long term, because their society is not very healthy at all.
I hate to be negative and cynical, Rabbi, but these Hollywood types are not, some of them are not very deep. You know, they don't seem to want to study, many of them. They want an easy intellectual way out. And they awfully often care more, to get back to our first segment, about how things make them look than about what's right and wrong. That's certainly clear. So we're fighting an uphill battle. What do you think is one of the most effective things we might be able to do? Because I'm always fascinated how people get out of cults. And leftism, as far as I'm concerned, is a cult. And, you know, what's one of the best things you can hopefully say to begin this new process, kind of like you did?
Well, I'm trying to confront the left through my new book, Viktor Frankl and the Psychology of the Soul. I mean, I saw the left take over psychology of the last 30 to 40 years in the United States.
Oh, my God, yes.
Really, yes. They talk about everything is just about the self, self-esteem, self-worth, and so on. I mean, the liberal left and Hollywood, you know, they just basically live the exact thing the left's been saying on psychology for 40 years. It's all about the self. Just look at the lifestyles of the rich and famous in Hollywood. We could see that the proof is in the pudding. They need to make, for those who want to survive, they need to make some real changes. And I believe in my book, I could convince them to some of the important aspects of Viktor Frankl's work, who talked about meaning. You know, he made a remarkable statement. He says, just like we have a Statue of Liberty on the East Coast, we need a Statue of Responsibility on the West Coast.
And, that's so good.
Yeah, and I believe that we have to just appeal to people's sense of survival. You cannot survive without values and safety, and you cannot survive psychologically without having a life of meaning.
Rabbi, we are running out of time, but as I heard you speak, and I'm thinking, oh boy, I could talk to you for another 2 hours, is the notion that the left, who the Hollywood celebrities who do politic and who are so very passionate about some unbelievably ignorant, petty things, I think that's their attempt to get beyond themselves. But don't you also have to have values that make sense, that hold people accountable, instead of the virtue signaling that many Hollywood leftists do?
Yeah, this is exactly what Dennis Prager has been talking about for 40 years. Uh-huh. If we don't have absolute values, if we don't have the Ten Commandments, there's nothing to appeal to. There's nothing wrong with murder. There's nothing wrong with killing people and so on.
You can justify
anything.
So we
really anything. Have to get back to... Exactly. We need absolute values.
Rabbi Daniel Schoenbuch, what a pleasure. You know, it was a special treat for me, and I hope to have you back again when I'm on the radio, and maybe Alan Nathan as well can have you on. Good to have you. Yes. Well, thank you. We are going to take a quick break. We'll have more of the Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network right after this. Don't go away.
A recent J.P. Morgan study found that most participants with a plan say their financial situation has improved in the last 5 years. Their financial health is good, and they talk to their kids about money. Mike Arov, Divisional Director at J.P. Morgan Wealth Management, will explain more.
The good news is that it's always the right time to start planning and investing for the future. Think about what you want to accomplish in 6 months, or maybe the next year, or even longer. One way to help make that happen is by having a plan and working with a financial advisor. At J.P. Morgan Wealth Management, you could do this when, where, and how is best for you. That could be remotely from your home, in person at a Chase branch, or you could also invest on your own in the Chase mobile app and on Chase.com. We can help you identify your goals and keep you on track. Learn more about how to plan and invest for your financial goals at jpmorganwealthmanagement.com.
JP Morgan Wealth Management is a business of JP Morgan Securities LLC, member FINRA and SIPC. For older adults, the path to wellness evolves with age, bringing changes in physical health, social connections, and mental well-being. An expert in geriatric care from Humana says having a primary care physician who knows you and understands your health history can make a big difference in your quality of life. Dr. Robert Zorowitz, who works in health services for Humana, explains.
Visiting your primary care provider regularly is one of the most important things you can do to stay healthy longer. Having a long-standing relationship with a doctor who knows you helps them understand what's important to you. Consistent visits allow your doctor to monitor your health over time. This makes it easier to detect patterns, address concerns quickly, and help prevent minor issues from becoming more serious problems. Your primary care provider can help make sure you receive the right screenings and preventive care to address your health holistically.
Your insurance carrier can help you navigate your care. Call the number on the back of your insurance card to find a doctor in your network.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And it's been a long while since I've had the pleasure to talk with Seton Motley, founder and president of Less Government, one of my favorite subjects. He's a consultant, a writer, a television and radio commentator, political and policy strategist, lecturer, debater, and activist. Seton Motley, thank you so much for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
And coffer right now. Sorry about that if you heard that. I'm fine. How are you?
Incorporate? What?
Oh, I said in coffer. I was coughing while you were introducing me. I apologize.
You see, you shouldn't have said anything because I didn't hear it.
Oh, okay. I figured it would be better to mention it if you didn't hear it rather than not mention it. And everyone who wondered, is the guest dying on the air? Anyway.
Not a problem. See, you're a human. You're not just an automaton.
That's right.
You wrote a terrific article in the, let's see, lessgovernment.org. You can find it at lessgovernment.org. I love that title. It just gets to the heart of it. And so many conservatives and libertarians have been saying that for years. And then the Republicans, they totally forgot about less government. It's all lawfare is the name of the article. Everyone but the cronies get screwed by big government. I love your candor. Talk about this article and what more we need to know.
Well, the impetus for this thinking was this was.
I lost you. Uh-oh. Hello? Okay, his line dropped. I didn't know if it was his line or my line. So here he is talking about coughing, and now we lost him. Anyway, I'm going to talk about that until we get him back. He is much more qualified to talk about the article itself, but what an enticing article it is. What he's talking about here is lawfare. We saw up close and personal the way that lawfare was used to go after Donald Trump, regardless of the facts in any case, regardless of any evidence, for heaven's sake. And for those people who have grown up believing that our justice system was fair and that our Lady Justice actually wears a blindfold, this was a rude awakening for all of us, because the agenda to go after Donald Trump, to smear him, destroy him, and to put him in prison was so brazen and obvious. Brazen and obvious. We all got to see it up close and personal. And we have our guest back, Seton Motley. Please continue from where you left off, talking about this article.
I don't know where I left off. That's the problem.
that's okay.
Well, but you know, I say in the article, I heard what you just said. In the article, I say the point of the process is the punishment. That's the thinking behind lawfare. And I say, technically speaking, if you want to get technical about it, what Donald Trump experienced wasn't technically lawfare in the sense that, one, the process wasn't the point. They wanted to put him in prison. That was because they knew that if he didn't go to prison, he'd win re-election, and oh, look what happened.
And he'd do what he's doing right now.
Right. And the other point is, the point of lawfare is to break you financially. Well, he's a billionaire. Yeah. While these many, many stupid law cases were annoying, they weren't financially debilitating for, someone like Mike Flynn, his former national security advisor, who racked up millions of dollars of legal fees and had to sell his house and
lost his home,
destroyed his family. Yeah. And so that to me is more strictly by, not to get semantic, but that's more strictly lawfare to me. Now, what I wanted to point out was government being government is lawfare. Because the
Tell us
whole
how.
Point is, well, for example, I don't know how much I got into the Jon Stewart podcast over the weekend had Ezra Klein from the New York Times talking about the 14-step process that states and municipalities had to go through to apply for Joe Biden's $42-plus billion in government subsidies. The point being, they're trying to set up government as the internet provider instead of Comcast or AT&T or Verizon or whatever. And I wrote about it numerous times during the Biden administration. Zero people were hooked up, but the $42-plus billion was gone.
Is the point. That's the goal, isn't it?
Yes.
Is to lead people on a wild goose chase and take the money.
The government processing is the point. That's lawfare. The government churning money is the process. Because, of course, cronies got some and all that. You know, we talked about net neutrality for 15 years. And one of the side effects of that was, if it got imposed, big tech wouldn't have to pay for the broadband it uses. And there's your cronyism. The only people that benefit from the big government will pay more for internet because we have to subsidize big tech not paying anything for their internet. So the whole point of all this is the government process hurts everybody because the $42 billion we talk about, we all get screwed because we didn't get any internet for the $42 billion, and we lost the $42 billion. We paid for that. So that was kind of my point was anything government does. And, of course, the height of irony of the Ezra Klein, John Stewart exchanges, of course, John Stewart's been a big government advocate forever. Ezra Klein has been a big government advocate forever. And Ezra Klein's on there blowing John Stewart's mind with how stupid the process was. And he's on there pimping a book called Abundance where he wants to have the government do a whole bunch more everything.
Yeah.
And neither one
Where have these people
the
been?
Irony of that.
We've been watching this forever. Where have these people
that's
been?
That's the other thing about the internet. Barack Obama released a press release in 2015 congratulating himself somehow for 98%+ of Americans having access to high-speed broadband. That was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we've wasted hundreds of billions of dollars since connecting an already connected America. So this $42 billion we just threw out the window.
Well, it went somewhere. It went somewhere. And we're finding out that it went into politicians' pockets.
Right.
It went to buy influence. It went for everything but what it claims to have been for.
By the way, that was one of the things. One of the early steps in the process was you applied and you got a $5 million planning grant, meaning they give you $5 million to write the plan of how you're going to deliver broadband to whomever you're allegedly going to deliver broadband to. So they're just handing out money at all stages along the process.
Seton, I want to have time, and we only have a few minutes, have you comment on something that I tweeted, and I hope I get to connect with you on Twitter. This article that I put out, I posted it on the 27th, so it was 5 days ago, whatever it was, and it's an article explaining the Las Vegas Tesla dealership terrorist had ties to the communist groups. What was my comment? My comment was, you mean if we limit the size and power of the government, it could be a threat to communism? Who would have thought?
Right.
Talk about that a little bit, because that's what people don't get the connection.
Well, I don't understand how this is. This is why I live in Belize. But anyway, the way I describe most Americans is fish don't know they're wet. They're swimming in it.
And, oh, isn't that true?
How can you not make the connection that?
Am I losing you again? Fish don't. You know what? He's in Belize. That's the problem. I remember that was part of it. And we're probably going to have to keep him let go because we really only have about a minute and a half. But I'm happy to sort of finish off. I can't be him. Fish don't know they're wet. What I was going to ask him was, or say, that talk about an, oh yeah, oh yeah. Hi, Seton. Just finish up with us. Talk about an irony that the left accuses Donald Trump, who's cutting the size of government, as a dictator and a tyrant. I mean, how ridiculous is that? We don't have him. Okay. Well, I guess he needs to fix his system, but we are almost out of time. We have 20 seconds, Seton, if you want to make a final comment. All right, so I'm glad that he didn't get government internet and being online, because obviously his email is his online is not working properly. We'll have to have him back the next time I'm on, or Alan can have him, because he's just great. Love his passion. And next time your family or somebody says, oh, Trump is such a dictator. Dictators don't cut the size and power and scope of government. They do exactly the opposite. Make that connection for them, and you might really have somebody who's off on a new road of understanding, and they'll be fish who know they're wet. Karen Cataline filling in for Alan Nathan here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
The tax filing deadline is fast approaching, meaning it's your last chance to make contributions to your IRA for 2024. A new study from Fidelity Investments reveals the number one advice today's retirees have for Americans in their planning years is to start saving as early as possible, even in small amounts. Rita Asaf, Vice President of Retirement Offerings at Fidelity Investments, with more.
The good news is, regardless of age or income, it's never too late to start planning for retirement. Making regular contributions to an IRA is a good step towards your retirement goals. There's still time before the tax deadline to open a new account or contribute to an existing IRA for 2024.
For information about IRAs and what type of IRA might be right for you, visit fidelity.com/IRA. Investing involves risk, including the risk of loss. Fidelity does not provide legal or tax advice. The information herein is general in nature and should not be considered legal or tax advice. Consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific situation. Fidelity Brokerage Services, member NYSE, SIPC.
The majority of Americans in all planning stages say they're uncertain their savings will last throughout retirement. This is due to several factors, one of which being, again, the rising cost of living. A distinct difference between these groups is today's retirees are the last to report in large numbers that predictable income sources like pensions are their primary way to fund retirement, whereas 6 in 10 Americans in their planning years say their biggest income streams will come from their IRAs, 401ks, and other workplace plans. Only about half of retirees felt the same way about their IRAs and workplace savings plans today. The good news here is recent Fidelity data shows that retirement savers are building good habits and saving in their IRAs and workplace plans at a rate close to Fidelity's recommended 15% per year. For more information, you can go to fidelity.com/retirement planning, where there are great resources where you can learn about retirement planning and also put a plan together that meets your needs.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Are you excited about being a new grandmother?
Of course I am. A little intimidated, too.
Why?
Taking care of a baby today is so different than when I had you.
But, Mom, you did great with me.
Thanks, son. But I put you on your stomach to sleep.
Right. But now we know that babies should always be placed on their backs to sleep, for naps and at night, to reduce the risk of sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS.
Hmm. You also slept with blankets and toys in your crib.
True. But now we know to keep everything out of the crib except for my sweet baby girl. No blankets, pillows, or other soft or loose items.
Daddy's going to teach Nana all the ways to keep you safe while you...
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. I'm delighted to close out this hour with author, poet, columnist, and attorney. She was previously a visiting fellow with the American Institute for Economic Research and a policy analyst at the Libertas Institute. Her debut poetry collection is entitled Silent Suffering, Poems of Pain and Purpose. Seems like we have a theme here. We had a rabbi earlier talking about things like that. Leslie Corbley joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Leslie. Good to have you on the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
So I have just not want to let this go, this issue, and it's all over my website, and it's so powerful to simply use the term of, for the previous administration, President Otto Penn. And that's how I am now referring to him, is President Otto Penn. And you are able to enlighten us as to whether we can actually reverse the executive orders that somebody signed on our presidential potted plant, the previous president's, under his name. It's outrageous that there can't be accountability for that. So tell us how we might be able to do that.
We're somewhat in uncharted territories here, mostly because the competency of the president is rarely in question, right? Generally, we, whether we agree or disagree with the president's decisions, we can confidently know that they were made while the president had competency. Unfortunately, with Joe Biden,
not anymore.
Mental decline was so egregious and so apparent that even his own party had to, squeeze him out of the presidential race in 2024. So it's pretty,
not before they lied to us for 3.5 years, but I digress.
True. But it got so, got so advanced and so self-evident that even his own party could no longer, keep him as their standard bearer for the presidential race. So that, with that being said, it actually brings up something that really has never happened before. Section 4 of the Constitution has never had to have been used. We've never actually declared a president incompetent. And so I think that right now, the cost of those around the president who obviously supports the agenda, right? So there's a political alignment that's going on. There's quite a high cost to them to trying to invoke that, right? Because it stymies his agenda. So I think right now there's really no cost to trying to push through whatever the president's agenda is, regardless of whether or not that should technically be done. And that's, I think, where we're at right
now.
How
can you do it?
Hopefully,
you're a lawyer.
Yes.
Do tell us, how can we do this?
It would be really difficult. I think that there would be, my hope is that maybe courts will be willing to take this up. I don't know. It's a very unfavorable political environment for that. Courts don't like taking on politicized issues. It's not easy to prove that orders from the president are null, right, due to mental issues, particularly if there's not broad bipartisan agreement as to that. So I would be curious to see if the Trump administration, for example, has clear evidence, like if they were to investigate and have clear evidence that specific orders were either made without the president's knowledge, where his signature was affixed to an order without him knowing about it, it was done in some way under duress, right, like where he wasn't really cognizant. I know Mike Johnson had mentioned something about President Biden not being aware that he had signed a certain order in conversation, but of course that's, who knows what that really amounts to. But I will be curious to see if the Trump administration makes any specific allegations as to specific orders that might maybe could carry weight.
Couple of things for you to comment on. One is it's not as if we don't have judges who are not politically motivated on their own, directly opposite from the agenda of our current president. They've proven sure. and shown that they're more than willing to drive in the executive branch lane when they live in the judicial branch lane. So that doesn't seem unprecedented. The other thing is that it ties to so many things that really aren't legitimate, like these preemptive pardons that could be turned around. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm going to pardon you for anything that you might do in the future that you haven't done yet and you haven't been charged with. Talk about either one of those or both if we have a time, okay?
Sure. So it's difficult. I mean, frankly, judge shopping isn't new. Forum shopping, you know, trying to get a judge that's more likely to rule in your favor isn't new, particularly not in political law matters. Obviously, the branches of government right now, in my opinion, are, and I think this is a bipartisan concern, are not functioning well together. Congress in particular has abdicated a significant amount of its authority to the executive branch. So now that's one of the reasons you're seeing a lot of this litigation popping up in the judicial branches, because Congress functionally hasn't really been Congress for a very long time. And then as to the, what was the second one you mentioned?
The pardons. Right.
Yes, pardons. Okay. As to the validity of pardons that are that broad, again, these are things that really haven't, I'm not aware of a whole lot of precedent on that matter. So I'd be curious to see, again, if the Trump administration wants to investigate specific individuals who may have received political pardons, say Anthony Fauci, or someone, you know,
who has not been charged of anything.
Yes. Because you're pardoning someone preemptively. I mean, that would be interesting to see. I really, again, that's a right. more novel issue. Some of these things, again, are uncommon, even the sheer volume of pardons that Biden issued at the end of his presidency.
Yeah.
Not normal.
Yeah, we don't think you did anything wrong, but we're going to pardon you for all the things that you might do wrong in the future just to protect you.
Or that you maybe did wrong that we don't know about. You're good to go there, too.
And it's also so interesting that they can turn logic on its head and say that the reason they wanted to do this, which was just laughable, is because the Trump administration was so vindictive. You know, the Trump's administration was so vindictive towards these perfectly lawful personalities and actors in our government. That's why they had to offer all these pardons. Meanwhile, as always, they're the ones who did all of the stuff that they accused their opponents of doing, right?
I mean, sure, there's obviously a lot of hypocrisy. It's par for the course in politics. But I think a lot of this is coming to the public's attention. And for what it's worth, I think Trump is not just litigating in the court of law, although he is doing that. There's a ton of litigation that's come out of his presidency, and that seems to be part of his strategy. I don't think he's afraid of the litigation. I think he's more than comfortable creating it and saying, all right, we'll fight that out in court and see what happens and what we'll do with it. So I think some of it's teeing things up for the Supreme Court. Some of it is seeing, you know, kind of a give and take of what his administration can get away with, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What is this president afraid of? Nothing I can see. Not anything. How can people find you, follow you, Leslie Corbley?
Yes, so LeslieCorbley.com is the easiest way. I'm actually revamping my website and have a new book coming out in October. So head on over to X. I'm on X as well, at Corbley Leslie. And that's LeslieCorbley.com is the easiest way to find me.
Beautiful. There's so much more to talk to you about. We'll have to do it again soon. Take care, and we look forward to that. We're going to take a break at the top of the hour, and we'll have a whole nother hour of the Alan Nathan Show after this.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.